So we started a series, a little mini-series, if you will, last week on the subject of joy, and there are a couple reasons for that. One is because Christmas, right, joy is a huge part of how we celebrate Christmas. If you look around town, you see little joy signs and up on the hills and on people's houses, and my folks have a big joy in front of their yard. And also because of the stuff that we've been through as a community, we really need it, right? Like, if we just kind of plow through Christmas and we miss joy when this one time of the year we really try to focus on it, if we just, we need some healing, we need some joy, we need some peace, we need some help. And so it was just clear on my mind about a month ago, man, we got it. We need to study joy. We need to understand what does it mean to have joy? And what does it mean for a community to have joy right now? Now, if we look at the subject of joy throughout the Bible, you'll find that God, your Father, wants you to have joy. And yet, sometimes we have this messed up view of God where we feel like he wants me to be miserable. No. If we really understand who he is, we understand he wants us to have joy. And in fact, I shared this thought with you last week that many of you are parents. Raise your hand if you're a parent. If your child, your son or your daughter, is not doing well, if they're depressed, if they're down, does that affect you? So how much more your Father in heaven, who has billions of children, wanting them to have joy and peace and fulfillment and be who they're created to be and not be stuck under life and under a rock of depression? Am I right? He wants his kids, us, to have his joy. In fact, when Jesus came, the Christmas story, Luke 2, he brought joy. One of the main reasons why he even showed up. And I love it. In Luke 2, the angels say, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas brings joy. And somebody once said to know Jesus is to know joy. And then we would say, know Jesus, know joy. Right? Different spellings, but you get the idea. And then the book of Nehemiah says this to us. It says, the joy of the Lord is our what? So here is why joy is difficult. If joy in the Lord makes us strong, our enemy, the devil, does not want us to be strong, right? You follow me? I know this is really deep, right? So your enemy says, I do not want Larry and Becky to be strong. I'm going to steal their joy. Then they are not strong. So there's a war happening. I don't know if you realize this, but in your own life, it's not, I don't feel that good today. How you doing? Not that well. There's a war, a spiritual war that's happening in your life to keep you weak. And one piece of that war is against joy. It's a fight to maintain our joy on planet Earth. So just with what's been happening, and we could probably go around with the microphone and interview each of you, but how's your joy doing? It's been a rough, like, 5 weeks, am I right? But it's not about, like, going, oh, I'm so happy. No. We have to deal with what's been happening. We don't just turn our eye and say, you know, we can't ignore. But we can understand how we're doing, how we're processing, how we feel. Hey, we've taken in a lot of input that's been difficult and painful, and we've been processing grief and loss and confusion and questions, and that's all a piece of this equation. So just for yourself, just think for a second, how's my joy doing? Lord, show me how my joy is doing. Now, for me personally, I feel like my joy has been pushed really hard. So it's kind of like when you're in middle school and the bully comes up to you and just goes like, boom, right? The big challenge push to see what you're going to do. And I was always the kid in school that I wasn't big enough that no one bothered me, and I wasn't small enough that no one bothered me. I was like in the middle, so I was a good target. So the bullies, you know, would often give me that big push and just say, what's Kirk going to do? And I feel like that's what has happened this last month in my life with, you know, the just processing with some of the families, the grief of losing their kids. Wow, And I feel like, thankfully, it didn't knock me over, but I do feel like I got the wind knocked out of me, right? And then the good news is I feel like the Lord has given me his strength to say, wait a minute, you're not going to knock me down. Like, no way. And so when you get hit by the bully, you got a choice to make, right? You're going to come back at that bully and say, that's not happening today. Or you run away and you cry, right? But I feel like the challenge for me and the challenge for each of us, I feel like God showed me this for us today, is once you receive that push, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Say, Lord, I need your joy. And yes, this has been a challenge. And I'm not going to let the enemy take me down. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Now, there's been a war against joy happening, not just in the last month, but for 2,000 years plus. When Jesus came, he came to a little town of, right? So after he came, Herod heard, hey, there's something going on in Bethlehem. There's a new king that's been born. I got to get rid of this guy. So the enemy used Herod to kill all the babies that were born in Bethlehem around that period of time. So just imagine this assignment that the enemy has to take out Jesus, to take out joy, and that would last his whole life. So you see the enemy trying to kill Jesus, trying to discredit Jesus, trying to get him in trouble, trying to, you know, all these different things. In fact, putting an insider, Judas, in the inner group to take Jesus down. And then the enemy gets his ultimate victory on the cross, right? I finally have gotten rid of Jesus. Surprise! That was the plan for the whole time, right? And so we see this fight against joy. And it's interesting, if you look at, you know, the enemy's idea of destroying joy by destroying Christmas. Doesn't that sound like a movie? The Grinch. Have you seen it yet? I gave you the assignment. Raise your hand if you've seen The Grinch. I'm just leaving. So the new Grinch, the new animated one, is great. And it's not a kid's film. It's really good art. It's really well written. It's really well scored. I really like it. I recommend it. So what happens, though, is we love the story because it's true. Often you find in a movie, you find a story of redemption or salvation that just grabs you. The Grinch is true because it's the enemy trying to knock out Christmas and trying to knock out joy that Jesus brings. So the Grinch tries to knock it out, and then he realizes it can't be knocked out, right? It's more powerful than presents and all that other stuff. In fact, other movies, how many of you like Elf, right? So what did the sleigh run on? Christmas spirit or Christmas, right? Cheer. And there are like four or five movies out that have that same theme, that the sleigh can only run on this certain, right? So Santa's in trouble. We got to help him out because there's not enough joy. That's why we watch it and we find it intriguing, because we struggle with joy and we're like, oh yeah, we want it to run. We want Santa to do his thing. No, we want God to do his thing. And we know that we're missing joy and we need some. And so these stories grab us. So let's dig in. A couple of really surprising things about joy. The first one is this, and I don't particularly like it. Most of the times when joy is talked about in Scripture, it's in the context of suffering. Shoot, right? So you have a picture frame of suffering, and the picture in the middle is joy. Over and over and over, Old Testament, New Testament. Let me show you two of them. Matthew 5, Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are you when people persecute you, when they say bad things about you, when they revile your name. Rejoice and be glad. Like, is he crazy? Right? And then 2 Corinthians 8, this one's amazing. In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So you have this pattern in Scripture of the people of God under attack from their enemy, physical or spiritual, rising up with joy in the middle of difficult situations. Because joy is not the absence of bad stuff. It's not the absence of suffering. It's the presence of the Lord. Right? It's not that that cleared up and now I feel joy. No, it's because God's with me. I feel joy. So I can go through this. I can go through that. I can go through just about anything. In fact, one of the only ways to know the difference between joy and happiness is this. It doesn't make sense that you would feel joyful right now. That's how you know it's joy. That's how you know the Lord is in you. If your friends look at you and they're like, why does this not bother you? And you're like, well, it does bother me, but I feel okay. I feel like the Lord's got me. There's a joy that is shining brightly when things are going poorly in the frame around it, right? Another thing about joy, joy is a command. It's not a suggestion. In Scripture, it doesn't say, you know, you should try joy. It's a good idea. Joy is a better way. No, it says, be joyful, rejoice always. And Paul loved to write about that, especially. You'll find it in Romans and Philippians, to go have joy. Man. So look around for just a minute. You see some people in here that are good at joy? We have some people in our congregation that are really good at joy. Yeah, a couple of them are sitting here. I think Doris and Bo have they're people of joy. I think Wendy Kappen has a lot of joy. Jeremy has a lot of joy. I mean, there are others in our congregation that just, like, you just want to be around them. You're like, wow, I think Naomi's got a lot of joy. It's pretty fun. So anyway, but I think if you want to be a more joyful person, spend some time with joyful people. Let it rub off. And if you have some sour pusses in your life, maybe, you know, avoid them for a little while. It's just a thought. So here's another thing about joy that I think is really, really, really important. Our joy is directly tied to how we see God's goodness. If you think God is out to get you, you are going to struggle with joy every minute of your life. That's just how it's going to happen. If you have a low view of God's goodness, you will have a low joy quotient. Your JQ will not be high. It's impossible. So here's a story. John Barber and I were talking about this last week. There's a story of the talents, where it's a master who goes away on a trip, and he puts people in charge of money. And he says, I'm going to give you this much money, I'm going to give you this much money, I'm going to give you this much money. Now, while I'm gone, I want you to invest it, I'll be right back. So he stays away a long time. One guy invests it, does well. Next guy invests it, does well. The last guy, when the master comes back, he says, hey, what'd you do with my money? He goes, well, I buried it in the ground. I didn't do anything with it because I knew that you are a man who reaps what he doesn't sow. And, you know, basically, you're a hard man. You know, I was kind of afraid of you. I didn't want to screw things up, you know. Interesting, the first two guys, when the master comes back, he says, enter into your master's joy. And the last guy is judged, and he is cast out, basically sent to hell. It says, go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have him removed. He didn't understand the master's goodness. He thought God was bad and mean and grouchy and judgmental, and he had better hold on to what he's got and not take any chances. No freedom, no joy. Right? No freedom, and you'll know joy. Am I right? We have to understand God's goodness, that he wants to welcome us into his joy. And he doesn't want us to be hunkered down taking care of ourselves. He wants us to use what he's given us in every way. Gifts, time, relationships, resources, everything. Use it in freedom for his glory. Okay, here's a good definition of joy from Kay Warren. And she wrote a book called Choose Joy Because Happiness Isn't Enough. I love that title. But she said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything's going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. So notice, some of us might take the last one, the praise, that's joy. No, it's an understanding. It's an inside me. How do I look at the world? How do I look at God? How do I look at me? How do I look at the future? How do I look at everything? That's where joy comes from. So I had a conversation with a good friend of mine named Tom Steffen. He's the pastor at Monta Vista Presbyterian over in Newbury Park. And we were at Ragamuffin Coffee. Incidentally, if you want to see Christian leaders, that's where you go. I don't know why, but they all hang out there. It's just weird. So we were hanging out at Ragamuffin Coffee this week, and we were talking about just processing the 12 murders at the borderline, the fires, just all the stuff, you know, and how are people feeling? How are churches feeling getting ready for Christmas? And he had some beautiful thoughts to share with me. He talked about how joy goes deeper than grief and pain. And it goes deeper even than happiness. And sometimes we feel like in our life there's a battle that happens between happiness and pain. Which one's going to win? I wonder which one's going to be stronger. And then he reminded me that what he's experiencing is that no, joy is a deep water that's under those things. It's not involved in that battle at all. Joy is a foundation. It's a deep truth that we swim in. And it's not defined by what happened at the borderline and what happened with the fires and even with loss of life and homes. And it's not defined by that. It's deeper than that. As C.S. Lewis talks about in the Narnia books, there's a deeper magic. There's this thing down there that you can't even define that you can look at and go, I feel okay. I shouldn't. Look at my situation. But there's something that God's doing down here that is below pain, below grief. It's deeper than grief. And joy doesn't fight with grief. Joy sits under grief, and it allows grief to process and go through its way without knocking you down, without taking you out. And we do grieve. Christians, we're called to grieve for ourselves and with our friends. But it says in Scripture we don't grieve like people who don't have any hope. I think it's crazy sometimes when Christians don't grieve. And we just put on a happy face and the world looks at us like, you're not real. We have to grieve when things are broken. But we know that there's a deeper truth under all of that. Right on. So here's a question for each of us sitting here. What is it that steals your joy? Is there something in your life that destroys it, takes it down, challenges it, that knocks out your joy? And I'm going to suggest to you that it takes one of three forms. How many of you have seen A Christmas Carol? One of the versions of that, right? Do you remember the ghosts? What are their names? Yeah. Past, present, future, right? Scrooged is probably my favorite one. And Carol Kane is the ghost of, is it Christmas Present? And she's obnoxious and awesome. So, but here's the thing, your past. Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's is the hardest time for many, many, many people in our society. In fact, the highest rate of suicide bubbles over this month because people just lose hope and they're like, and you know why? It's because of all the past pain that they relive around the holidays. And they're like, oh my gosh. And some of you have gone through some changes this year, and you don't have a loved one for Christmas, or a relationship has gone south. You don't have a marriage for Christmas. Wow, right? So that is some harsh reality as you look at joy. And that is just, that's my thing. That steals my joy. That challenges my joy. Now, some of you, it may be a present thing where it's like, I struggle with this sin or this addiction that just robs me. Or I struggle with, I feel like I'm too, my life is too full. Like some people literally have filled up their lives, maybe as a compensating for something else, but you don't have time for joy. You don't have time for anything. You're just running from this thing to the next and it's stress. And some of you feel like, you know, right now, that there's this discontent. It's not fair. Something in your life is not adding up. You wish it was this, you wish it was that, and you can't really be joyful because of that noise, that lie that's here, that like you can only be joyful when this happens. Some of you, it's fear of the future, what you said, Bo. You don't know what's going to happen. How could you have joy now? You don't know what's going to happen. We never know what's going to happen. Am I right? So just allow the Lord to help you identify in your mind, what's the thing that knocks down your joy? Is it past? Is it a present thing? Or is it a future thing? And we're going to have some people available to pray with some of you who need it over. Actually, we all need prayer, right? Over in the parents' room after the service. Come and join Stacy and Ben and Katie are going to be over there. And so, but if you have some stuff in your past, present, or future that's just churning, and you're like, I need somebody to process this with, they'll be over there to pray with you. But before we do anything else, I would love to pray that God would heal and release some of you from the thing, especially in the past, that is an anchor, that drags, you're dragging a 500-pound anchor into Christmas from your past, and that's not how you're created to live. So if that's you, just identify that right in your mind, and let's pray about it. Lord, you love us. You love each person that's here. You have brought joy and peace. Thank you for Christmas. But Lord, as we look at Christmas, we've got pain. And so, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bring this object of this anchor, this thing that knocks down and drags down joy, and that you'd make it obvious. And in Jesus' name, we pray it away. We ask, Lord, that you would remove this as an obstacle. You don't need, Lord, to erase our memories, but, Lord, you need to fill it with your power and with your presence and help us to not feel alone. And, Lord, we even willingly admit that we've hung on to things from our past because we feel like we deserve it. We deserve to relive that because it was so painful. But, Lord, that's not how you've created us to live. And so we ask in Jesus' name for freedom, for new freedom this Christmas, to walk into it without the destruction of our past, without the harsh memories, and without all the lies that the enemy places on that. And Lord, would you give us a new chance this Christmas to have freedom in you? Amen. So, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that a beautiful verse? Notice that joy and peace are linked to trusting. It's not just hocus pocus, ding, right? You now have joy. It's linked to, are you trusting him with past, present, future? Are you bringing that to him? And this afternoon, some of you feel better right now, and this afternoon you're going to walk out of here and be like, oh, wait, I still have this thing. Are you going to trust him with it and keep giving it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to purify me of this thing. Okay, let's go even deeper. Hebrews 12. This is talking about Jesus and why he came. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Look at this. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What? So was the cross a joyful experience? Did Jesus have joy in the cross itself? No, that would be crazy, right? He found joy in the cross because of what it would accomplish for us. That's truth. So that's the only reason. And his whole life was aimed at it. And he kept telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to go do this thing, and they didn't get it. And the enemy kept trying to knock him off course, and he couldn't, because Jesus had to pursue the joy of the cross for you and me, so we could be free. And I feel like in our lives, we need to understand it's not about enjoying the bad stuff that happens. No, it's about a deeper truth and having joy through it. Even though this is nasty, I can have joy through it. So here's a question for each of you. What is the cross that you are called to bear? And can you find joy carrying that thing? That ugly thing, that thing that doesn't bring joy in itself, that thing that isn't fair, that thing that doesn't make sense from your past, from your present or a worry about the future, what are you going to do with it? Jesus saw joy right through it. He marched right through that. So put your name in that verse. Bo, for the joy set before her, endured blank. And Wendy, for the joy set before her, endured that. So the thing in your life that is a barrier to joy can be a roadblock or it can be a bridge. Think about that. So that thing that seems impossible, that seems daunting, that I don't even want to think about, say, Annie, for the joy set before her, endured that thing, right? So that God could use it in some way. It doesn't mean God caused it, doesn't mean he brought it, doesn't mean, you know, he's excited about it in your life, but it does mean he uses all things for good. So even the cross, even persecution, even suffering, even loss of a job or a marriage or a whatever can be seen as a road to grow in the Lord, can be used by him in all kinds of ways. It develops our character. It develops our faith. How many of you know that? Your faith grows like crazy when it's dark. And you're like, you can't just run on your own steam. And you're like, Jesus, I need you because I got nothing, right? And you grow like crazy. The other thing that happens when you go through difficult stuff and you can find joy on the other side is this. You develop grace for others. So isn't that true? So 5 years ago, some of you were very judgmental towards people who went through that. And you're like, oh, how could somebody? And then you go through it yourself and you're like, ooh, wow, right? And you got grace abounding for those people. In fact, you can have joy for people who are stuck in the middle of the mud because you understand what it's like to be stuck in the middle of the mud. So James 1 says, consider it joy when you face trials and trials of many kinds. You know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So you have a choice. It doesn't say it is joy. It says consider it. Look at it. Decide that it's going to be joy when you have difficulty. And he's not crazy, right? This is the half-brother of the Lord who wrote this. And wrote some beautiful words. Ann Voskamp says, busy is a choice, stress is a choice, joy is a choice. Choose well. Right? Sometimes she boils it right down, right? I think that's great. Psalm 16, you made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The only source of joy is his presence. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's that deep truth, that water that we can soak in that makes everything else make sense. I want to go back to the Grinch for just a second. So he tried to steal Christmas because he was stealing the things that he thought brought people all their joy. You remember that, right? In fact, I have some of the words. How many of you love the writing of the Grinch? It's amazing. So after he stole Christmas, then he's listening, right? Because he's going to hear them all crying. He's going to hear their life has been ruined because he's been victorious in stealing all their joy. And then he hears a sound and he's excited because finally they're going to be boo-hooing. But the sound, it started low and then it started to grow. The sound wasn't sad. Why, this sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry. Very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. Right? That's the song. So the devil will try to steal your joy. And what's interesting is he will steal all the stuff that he thinks makes up your joy. He can't steal the Lord. He cannot steal the presence of the Lord from your life. It cannot happen. Jesus said, no one will snatch them from my hand. It cannot happen. And your joy is not based on the wrapping and the presence and the tree, right? But sometimes we forget that. Our joy is not based on all of the stuff. It's based on him. Joy is a gift that you are created to enjoy. Joy is something that God has created that's deeper, I believe, than our other emotions. It's not just a feeling. As Kay said, it's much, much deeper than that. But have you ever received a Christmas present that had these terrible words on it? Batteries not included. So this is how I figured out about Santa Claus. Because Santa would bring the gifts. My parents had the right batteries for everything that Santa brought. So somehow mom and dad are in cahoots with Santa. And I'm like, and I was like pretty smart when I was 7. I'm like, you know, something's going on. And Santa looks a little bit like my grandfather. And then, you know, grandpa's suit wasn't very good. So here's the point. Our joy needs power, and sometimes we try to get through life without the batteries that make the toy work, right? And the power comes from the presence of the Lord in our lives. And you cannot have joy without him that lasts. You can have happiness. I've met a lot of people from other faiths that have a peace. But their peace is kind of like, I'm not going to think about these things. I'm going to think about these things. So there's something about their peace that falls short because they're not able to grieve. And they're not able to deeply love because they're afraid of loss. And so they're able to be peaceful people, but it's kind of a surface thing that doesn't have this depth. I found a depth in believers in Christ, especially older ones that have this joy, that they're unshakable. They can go through anything in life. In fact, Miriam, I feel like you're one of these people. You're not old enough yet, but there's an unshakable faith that this woman has that's like, hey, whatever life brings, I got the Lord. Like, bring it. I got the Lord. And I had this picture in my mind this past week of joy is a deep rudder, like on a ship. If you have a really, really deep rudder on this thing, you can go through any storm and the ship will not tip over. And I feel like it's like the captain is at the helm of this ship that he hasn't tried yet. But he knows, man, this thing's got the deepest rudder I've ever seen. And he goes out and he's like, man, let's try this thing out. You know, let's see what kind of storm this thing can handle. And I don't think that we go into like our lives with that kind of a cowboying attitude. But I think we can go into it with a confidence of saying, the Lord's given me him. There isn't a greater gift than him. There's nothing that the joy that he gives me can shake. And if it shakes it temporarily, he can remind me that I can just come back closer to him. Amen. Now, some of you don't know the Lord. And maybe it's just becoming clear and you grew up in church and you knew this or you knew about him or what, but you may not know him. And when you see like people get baptized and when you hear us sing the songs and you're like, I want that. I feel like I'm here and you guys are here. And it's not that far, but I don't know him yet. I want to know him. And I feel like some of you may be here for that reason today, to just get things right with him and say, Jesus, I need you. I need the peace that you bring. I need the joy that you bring, because I don't have batteries for my joy right now, and it's not running. And I've been trying to do this, and it just is not happening. And there are others of you that you know the Lord, but you've been a couple steps removed from him, maybe because of the frustrations and the disappointment, but you're not experiencing the joy that he wants to bring in your life because he's over there. And you're like, yeah, I know you, Jesus, And maybe it relates to that thing that we talked about, that you're not understanding his goodness. You're not allowing him to show his goodness in your life because you're like, you're hurt. And the Lord wants to reel you back in and say, come back into my joy. There's a verse that says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. David felt that. And that there was a time in his sin that he ran away. And then he came back and he said, Lord, I need your joy again. I feel like I've run away from the joy and I got to come back. So we're going to pray about that. And then we're going to sing a song that I think is going to be healing for many of you. So John and Annie, you guys can come up. But let's pray. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord, do some business right now. If you're here and you do know the Lord, but you're not experiencing that joy and you feel like there's distance, you're not going to find the joy until you come back to him, until you reestablish that connection with him. It's kind of like, you know how sometimes you have the battery in there, but the spring's got a little rusty? Maybe the Lord needs to, like, you know, take a little steel wool on your soul so the connection works again. Does that make sense? And that might be a little bit painful, but that's the right thing. So let's pray. Lord, I ask right now that you'd speak to people in this room that don't know you, that want to know you, that want to get things right with you, that need you, Jesus, this Christmas and need to start over. And Lord, right now, would you speak to their hearts and draw them to you? And if that's you right now and you know that you need him, you don't even know how, but you know you need him. Just admit, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I've been trying to do it on my own, and I can't. And Jesus, I believe as best I understand that you came to earth one Christmas, and you came to bring joy and real life. And I ask that you would save me from myself, and that you would rescue me and bring me to you, so I can be with you forever, so you can be the king of my life. If you prayed that, every eye is closed, but just raise your hand real quick and just say, that's me. I'm getting this right with the Lord right now. I need him. Wow, thank you, Lord, for some hands that went up. And if that's you, and this morning you feel like, man, my joy has been disconnected. It has not had the power it's needed. It has not had God's presence. I want to get closer to him. Just admit that lack and just say, Jesus, I've been wandering off on my own way, and I want to come back. I want to be right next to you. I need the power that your Spirit brings in my life. Jesus, be the center. Jesus, be my joy. Jesus, be my Christmas. And just allow yourself to come back to him and feel his arms wrapping around you right now and feel his joy re-entering your life. Amen. Now, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to start with a particular verse. And some of you know this song. It's called O Come to the Altar. But I want you to notice a couple of these words. Look at the second half. Bring your sorrows, trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling you. So just allow this next song to be your prayer. Spend some time with the Lord. And if you want to, just picture yourself giving him the junk that's not working, right? That's the barrier, and receiving his joy in exchange. Let's stand up. Just let the Lord keep working on you. And I feel like what happened today is he opened up some boxes in some of our lives, and he's doing some work. And just allow the Lord to speak to you, to minister to you, to care for you, especially the rest of today. And don't put the lid back on that box yet. Just say, Lord, thank you for opening this up. And I don't even know what to do with it, but I give it to you. And I ask you, Lord, that you would be cleaning me out so I can have your joy, reorganizing my thoughts, reorganizing how I see you. Help me, Lord, to see how good you are. Even if sometimes in life it doesn't look like that, help me to see it. And just allow the Lord to keep working on you through the rest of today and on all the way through Christmas. And don't give up. Remember, the bully wants to knock you down, and you're going to come back at him and say, no way. My God's bigger than you are. My daddy is so much bigger than you are. Lord, have your way in us and give us your joy. Amen. Yeah, woo-woo. So two things. One is next week we're going to get into the wonder of joy. How does the person of Jesus coming at Christmas, what's the meaning of that, and how do we get joy in who he is? So we're going to talk about some of his characteristics, which is going to be a blast. And also, if you want to go to Mexico with us, we still need a couple more people. Talk to Nikki, she's right there, or Matt right there, or come talk to me afterwards. We would love to take you. It's family friendly, and it's fun. We're going to have a blast down there. And how about a benediction before we get out of here? Is that a good idea? I'm going to have to come up with a Christmas benediction pretty soon. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance, his glory to you, and give you his peace and his joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everyone in the place said, Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody.